I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live, or almost live, from our top secret broadcasting secondary bunker. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am pre-recorded with you today. I wanted to, and I've never done this before, especially work from home this way. The Pastor Mike Online that I released yesterday stirred up a little with people. And some of the emails I got, they were very, very nice. And I appreciate it because some people sent me some information that they have seen, especially the folks up in Canada. And I want to be honest with you. I feel sorry for you. Up in Canada, I do. You have basically a white Obama as your prime minister in Canada. And I wouldn't trust that guy the same way we didn't trust Obama. Now, here's something, and some things that I'm going to try to make clear today that I wasn't able to do yesterday. And I feel bad about that because I probably generated more questions than I did answers with yesterday's Pastor Mike Online called The Great Reset, because I went through some of the websites that had been sent to me and I looked at them and I said, and here's something that's very important. I want you to get this. The information that I presented yesterday with the websites. Now, some of you may believe that. Okay? Are you willing to bet your soul on it? And I'm not being comical. I'm being dead serious. Imagine if you had a pair of dice in your hands. And you're playing dice with the devil. And you've got the dice in your hands. If you roll a 7, you get to go to heaven. If you roll any other number, the devil's going to take you. And I know that's, you know, lost people already are going to hell. But my point in this is this. We have a Bible for a reason, and it is a sure word of prophecy. I am waging my soul on the fact that my Bible is right. I have, and it's not, I'm not gambling, because I believe it's a sure thing. The words that are in my Bible are correct, they are true, they are everlasting, and yes, I have pinned and attached my soul to those words. If I'm wrong, and just to play the devil's advocate, Islam is the correct religion, then I am going to hell. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I hate Islam. I hate that religion. I think the Quran was written by the devil himself, and I want no part of it. And I'm never going to be a Chrislamist, ever, or an Islamist. So, if I'm wrong on what my King James Bible says, then Islam would be correct, or some other religion, Shintoism, Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism, then some other religion is right, and I'm going to hell. Or let's say the way the Catholic Church says it. If I don't believe the Catholic Church, and I don't believe the host is literally Jesus Christ, I'm a reprobate, and I'm going to hell. But I don't believe that stuff. I believe the King James Version of the Bible. I believe those words are right, and they're 100% right. They cannot be wrong, ever. Cannot be wrong. I'm still chewing a little bit of my lunch. Now, that's what I'm saying to you concerning these alternative right-wing conspiracy websites that everybody goes to. Everybody's passing around, trading off on Facebook, YouTube, emails, any kind of social media. Take a look at this. Boy, this is going to be the big thing right here. And over the years, since January 2009 that I've been doing this, the same websites and the same people, and now we have a whole collection of new ones, have been pouring out the same stuff over and over and over again. And with every new thing that comes out, here's what I think they're doing. I think some of these guys are racing to get out a new teaching off of whatever crisis is going on. Whether it was, you remember the comet that was supposed to come around the sun, smash into Earth, start the Great Tribulation? Remember that one? That goes back probably 2011, 2012, somewhere around in there, 2013. Do you remember 2012? You remember all the stuff that came out on the web about 2012, and all of them were wrong. Every single one of them were wrong, 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 wrong. Had you pinned your soul on 2012 being the end of the world, it's the end of the world as we know it, if you pinned your soul on that, you would have lost your soul. None of that stuff was right. And I think some people latch on to trends in social media, and they try to come up with some theory or some idea of how this is going to bring in the new world order, and they want to be first. And believe it or not, these people want to be right, but being right means the end of the world as we know it. They want to be right on this. And I'm like, you're making money off of information that you don't know if it's true or not. You say it's true because you've got a whistleblower or somebody who says they're a whistleblower, and you just accepted what they said, one witness only, you accepted what they said as being gospel, and you put it out there. It was wrong. It never happened, but you're not going to apologize for it. You took the money and you ran with it. And I'm against that. I am 100% against that. Now, what I do see overall in a big picture is, yes, technology is moving and progressing to the point at which man will be altered. And that's part of the great reset that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to finish this line of thought today, but today is scripture only day. Instead of trying to prove a negative, which, okay, the websites that we saw yesterday where the guy's talking about a whistleblower in Canada, again, I can't tell you 100% that it's not true. They can't tell you that it is true. So what are we left with? The Bible. And I can tell you 100% that the Bible is right. And my point in all, and because people sent me some information about what's going on in Canada, and that's why I feel sorry for you. You are still stuck with a white Obama up there who you do not trust. I watched a little clip of the Canadian Parliament, and one member of Parliament questioned somebody, House Speaker or whatever, concerning these COVID treatment centers, and he used the word internment camps. That, with us in America, goes back to World War II, where we interned the Japanese. That was wrong. Should have never done that. We violated those people's constitutional rights. It's happened before, and who knows? But somebody asked the question. The House Speaker stood up, gave a really bad answer. He never answered the question. Now, I watched this video segment, and I would like to get a hold of the entire unedited video. It looked to me like the video was edited to sort of leave in the mind of the viewer a question saying he didn't answer the question. I'm just skeptical. I know how to edit video, and a lot of other people do too, and you can edit a video in such a way as to make it look like that his question was an answer, because that's how the video ended. He was told to sit down. And my question is, when was he told to sit down? I don't know. I want to see the whole video. I want to see the unedited, unaltered video, if it exists out there. I don't know if it does. But anyway, my point is this. Are you willing to hang your soul on the things that you trade on Facebook, the sites, or the news articles that you read the first line of it and you post it on Facebook? You don't read the rest of it. You don't do any investigation. You don't look into to see how valid this might be. You just share it. And I'm going to be dead honest. Facebook is editing and censoring material. Twitter is doing it. But did not the right wing, people like us, have we not shot ourselves in the foot? Did we not weaken our own cause by releasing things or sharing things on social media that turns out wasn't true? Did we not do that? And I submit to you that yes, we did. We shared content across somebody else's play yard, which is Facebook. They own their play yard. It's theirs. It's not yours. Your Facebook page isn't yours. They loan it to you, but you have to follow their rules. If you don't like the rules, go somewhere else. But we use Facebook. Why? Because that's where the people are. And Facebook has their rules, and they have already shown that they're the left wing. Twitter's shown that. And so they don't like it when we share things that they don't like. So they're going to censor it. And I think if Trump wins the election, they're going to get in trouble. If Biden wins this election, we're going to be like Canada. We're not going to trust the Vice President of the United States. And there could be some trouble in this country. I don't want trouble. I want peace. But anyway, sharing things across Facebook, if it's not true, Facebook is going to shoot it down. And everybody, then somebody's going to say, Facebook, they didn't want that out there. They didn't want anybody seeing that. They want to hide their truth. Well, is it true? If what people shared is a big sack of lies, then they ought to censor it. They ought to. Now, I'm all for the marketplace of ideas, but some ideas are just not scriptural. And really where I'm going with all this is, I mentioned this yesterday, I got a phone call. Somebody asked me, Mike, are we in the tribulation? And here's what I'm going to share with you today. Let's start back with Matthew 24, the Great Reset. Now, as far as when I read Scripture, what I tell you is 100% the truth. 100%. You can believe it. And I think that it's far more important that you get your ideas of what is going to happen from the Bible rather than from the world. Because not everybody that is of the right wing is born again. And if they're not born again, they're of the world. And if they are of the world, are they going to lie? Yes. So right wingers like us and millions of others, they don't like what's going on in this world. And there is a very quick assumption to think that everything, how can I say this? I think some of you might be getting your ideas about the mark of the beast, the rise of the Antichrist, New World Order. You might be getting your ideas from the world rather than from scriptures. No doubt, if you're getting them from Mike Adams, you're getting them from the world. That guy's lost as a goose. And he knows nothing about God's grace, God's mercy. You listen to me. Can you show me one verse in the Bible? I'll take two. Can you show me a verse in the Bible that tells you that vaccines are biblically wrong? No. Now, I get why some of you never take them. I get it. Okay? I do. I understand that. And I'm not just all out going to get every vaccine that comes along. I'm not. There's going to be a criteria list of things that if it doesn't follow the things that I think are healthy for me, I'm not going to do it. And morality reasons. Did we use a cell line from an aborted fetus? Then I'm not all chopped up about going to get that vaccine. Okay, but my question is this. Is getting a shot in your arm to receive medicine, just regular medicine, not the nanotech and not the microchip and not all that, is that biblically wrong? You can't show me a verse in the Bible that says it is. Is adultery wrong? Yeah. Can you show me verses in the Bible that says adultery is wrong? Yes. Can you show me verses in the Bible how the Bible defines adultery? Yes. And it's not just committing the act, is it? It is what? Lusting. You've committed adultery with this woman already in your heart. So my question is, or my point is, some of you have done far worse. Far worse. And I would say, recently. Some of you have done far worse recently than getting a vaccine. Am I right? Is lying in the Bible? Is there verses in the Bible against lying? Telling lies to people? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What are you supposed to do with thy neighbor? Love them. Love them and tell them the truth. So, if you passed on things from the internet to other people that turned out to be a lie, what did you do? You lied to your neighbor. And the phrase, I didn't know it was a lie won't work. It's the same as lusting after a woman. Well, I didn't know that was a sin. That won't work. God has it clearly in the scriptures. It's a lie. It's adultery. It's murder if you hate somebody. If you covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's garage or whatever, your neighbor's wife, you violated the scriptures. And there's lots of verses that says that. So, and my point is, you've done things far worse than some of the things that's shown on Facebook. Okay? Now, let's go to the Word of God. And let's learn about the real Great Reset and how it's going to break down. How it's going to break down. And here's a question I'm going to ask you. Is the mark of the beast the very first thing that's going to happen prophetically? Is the mark of the beast the very first thing that happens? Because some of you are afraid of getting it right now. And it's not out now. Let's go to scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, not those years, of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. We examined that yesterday. And the stars shall fall from heaven. This is an event that I'm going to show you when it's going to happen. So has this event happened yet? No, not yet. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's also in other verses of the Bible. God said he will shake heaven and earth. Not just the earth this time. He's going to shake heaven and earth. It's in the book of Hebrews. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather to, I hope it sounds better than that. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that is when Christ gathers together his elect. Now, here's what's interesting. Some people have this event at the end of the tribulation, and yet, of what they call the seven-year tribulation, and yet, they have the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation, seven-year tribulation. Which is which? And those people would say, well, Matthew 24, we're going to be gone during all of that, so there's no use worrying about that. I'm going to say, worry about it. Well, I wouldn't worry about it. God's going to do what God's going to do, right? So let me ask you this. Is the Prime Minister of Canada, is he in charge of what happens on this earth? I mean, he's got power in Canada, right? He's got all his lackeys in Parliament, does he not? Yeah. He's got all these fools in Canada that voted for him, right? But does he really have power to put people in concentration camps? No. Not unless God gives it to him. And that's what we read yesterday in Romans 13. Did we not read that yesterday in Romans 13? Let's say, whosoever, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So let me ask this question. If the Prime Minister of Canada and the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Great Britain and the Prime Minister of Australia and the Prime Ministers all over the world get together and they put all of us people that they don't like in concentration camps. Did God allow that? Did God ordain for that to happen? Yes. Yes. Because no king on this earth makes a move unless God allows it or ordains it to happen. Nebuchadnezzar coming in to invade Jerusalem. You have, in the days of Hezekiah, Sennacherib trying to do that exact thing. Come in and invade Jerusalem. Did God let him do it? No. Now, did God bring Sennacherib all the way to the walls of Jerusalem? Yes. Why? To show forth his power. Did God allow Pharaoh to take custody of the Hebrews and turn them into slaves? Yes, 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 yes. Why? And God makes this clear, to prove his power. He raised up Pharaoh for a reason, to prove his power, to show forth what he can do. Because he ended up leading Pharaoh into the Red Sea. That was God's plan all along. So my point is this, if, and I'm saying if, all of the prime ministers and presidents all over the world decide on one day that they're going to go and collect every one of us born again Bible believing Christians and put us in concentration camps. Did God ordain that? Did God allow it? The truth of it is, the Prime Minister of Canada and all the Prime Ministers of the world and all the Presidents of the world and all the Kings of the world and all the dictators of the world, they do not have power unless God grants it to them. They can't move and twitch a muscle but what God ordains it. True. Because God's going to let the Antichrist come, but only in his time. He's wanting to come now, but he can't. Only in his time. And God's going to allow it. Okay? So now, this is the Great Reset right here. This is it. The gathering together, let me get my red pen, the gathering together of the elect, that's going to alter us. I showed you this yesterday, all these verses, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Thessalonians, showing us the coming of the Lord, giving us various details about it. And I didn't know that was there. I mean, I've read Thessalonians before, but I never picked up on that. You know how sometimes you read stuff and you just read it and you ask yourself, what did I just read? I don't know. But God has a timing in that too. Sometimes God just points things out to you at a certain time. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul said, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. So the question is, are we in tribulation now? And I'm going to answer that in a twofold way here in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5 gives us even more details. Wow, look at this. There's details here about how things are going to break down and how they're going to come about. It's in the Bible, not on a right-wing conspiracy website. 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why did Paul say that? Because we have the internet? Did he say that? Because you don't need for me to write to you. You can look at it up on the internet. Right? No. No. Because he's already written it in other places in the Bible. It's not that there is no need at all for me to write anything to you. It's that he's already told you these things, and they're in other places in the Bible. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh, how? As a thief in the night. And again, looking at the time schedule, let's say that the whistleblower is right. Let's just assume that the whistleblower is right. And he wrote it down that they want to start this late in December 2020, November 2020, you know, May 2021. Let's just say that they want to implement all this starting next month. Okay? does that necessarily mean that that's the start of the tribulation? No. It will be the start of a tribulation, a hard time, a difficult time. But it's not necessarily the start of the tribulation. And again, some people are making the error, and it is a tremendous error, of trying to look at that and try to pinpoint the day and the hour of the Lord's coming. And my friends, he hasn't told us. And I promise you, he's not going to tell the Prime Minister of Canada. And I promise you, he's not going to tell you on the internet by anybody. If God's going to tell us anything, where's he going to tell it to us from? What source? The Bible. My opinion is the day and the hour is in the book. It's in the book. God has it in his power. He hasn't revealed it to his son. It's sealed. It's sealed. Along with some other things. And I'll show you that in a minute. For when they shall say peace and safety. Now, I want to ask you this question. Who are they? Who are they? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who they are. I've wondered that for years. God, who are they? Hello? God, hello? Who are they? Nothing. Now, I have a theory. I think it is the fallen angels. Now, am I willing to bet my soul on that one? Nope. Nope, it's just a theory. So, since we don't know, we'll wait, won't we? What choice do you have? Are you going to look to the internet for help? Good luck with that. I've tried that. Okay? For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail. Now, he's giving us a clue here. Upon a woman with child, travailing, pangs of birth pangs, pangs to be delivered, right? Thing, a woman having a baby, okay? And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, again, let me go over this again. Paul tells us we're not in darkness, that that day should overtake us as a thief. What day is he talking about? The day of sudden destruction. What day is that going to be? Do you know? No. Do I know? No. Does anybody know? No. Is it going to be on the internet? No. Oh, hit a button. Is it going to be on the internet? No, 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 no. It's never going to be on the internet. You're not going to find it from some whistleblower. It's not there, and it's never going to be on the internet. If God's going to show it to us, which I think it's in the book, he's going to show it to us from the Word of God. And he's going to show it to just me, and I'm going to make a video on it and explain it to everybody so everybody can find. No, no. He's not going to just give it to me. He's going to tell it by way of the Holy Ghost to everybody. And we won't need the internet. In fact, some of you don't need it now. Right? Am I right that some of you really don't need the internet now? Of course I am. So how is God going to tell everybody? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't need a high speed, 1 gigabit per second download speed internet to tell everybody. He doesn't need 5G or 6G or 7G. He doesn't need to hook up electronic waves and wires into our brain in order to tell us the Holy Ghost abides within us. And I promise you, the Holy Ghost will never get this wrong. In fact, in John 16, Jesus told us the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost. He laid it out in no uncertain terms. Look at here. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. What does the Father have? He's got it in his right hand. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see, because I go to the Father. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. To take what comes from Jesus. Jesus gets his stuff from the Father. The Father gives it to Jesus. Jesus gives it to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost tells it to us. 1, 2, 3, 4. Isn't that neat? He's going to tell us what is going to happen. And he won't need the internet to do it. Amen. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, let me show you who's drunk. Let me show you who's drunk. And what that drunkenness is. He is, I can't say he's not talking about physical wine and vodka and Jack Daniels, and because he is. But he's also talking about something far greater, far more serious. Isaiah 28. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. So he says, they have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. Remember what God said? He said, I'm going to cause all of them to be drunk, but not with wine. For I'm going to give them a spirit of deep slumber. A spirit. What do they call alcohol? Spirits. So God is going to allow these prophets and priests to be drunk. And when they read the Bible, they can't, they're going to err. Because they believe there are errors in the Bible. Therefore, there's going to be errors in their theology and their views of the second coming. The strong drink are out of the way. They're way off. They are so wrong, they'll never get back on track. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. That means that they can't tell the difference between right and wrong. It's like the Catholic Church. Some of the strongest, loudest mouths in the Catholic Church against homosexuality are sodomites. They stumble in judgment. And through strong drink are out of the way. Jesus is the way, and they're out of it. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. Now God says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? God is looking for somebody who will say, Lord, pick me. I'll study your word. I'll read it. And you give me light. You give me understanding. So that's what that drunkenness is. God's going to give them a spirit of drunkenness. And they won't know. Because they're always in darkness. And to them there is no light. So they never see, and they never will see what's coming. But to God's children who are born of the light, We are children of the light, literally. We're not going to be wrong. As long as we follow Scripture. Period. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. You got to be saved. And my point earlier was a lot of these alternative right-wing websites are written by lost people who pretend to know the Bible, because they said the word Mark of the Beast, and that's out of the Bible. But they haven't read it. They haven't studied it. They haven't relied on it. They don't. They're lost. For God has not appointed us to wrath. That is very important. But to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So all five chapters of the book of 1 Thessalonians mentions the rapture. All five. And I love it. Never saw that before. Now, here is the Great Reset. Da, 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 da. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. This word is not to be forgotten. Very important. Because actually, there is a second witness to this verse. I never thought about it until the guy asked me, are we in the tribulation right now? As I gave him the second witness to this verse, I never thought about it before that moment. Never occurred to me. But I went, that's pretty cool. Because it matches. Watch this. Behold, I show you a mystery. Very important, that word. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Sleep is the sleep of death. In a moment. So this matches 1 Thessalonians 4, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And obviously, we're going to be transformed in that catching up. We're not taking these bodies with us, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, I've said this before, but if you ask me when I think the rapture is going to happen, I will quote Scripture. I will say the last trump. Period. Now, there's some disagreements between when that last trump is. And I would not dare debate anybody about that. I won't do it. Don't call our office. Don't call me. Don't ask to speak to me if all you're going to do is argue. Because I had that before I caught COVID. Two guys called within the space of a week and a half, getting into an argument with me or wanting me to debate them on why I was wrong about 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And I told both of them, I'm not arguing, I'm not debating. And neither conversation went well. They demanded that I listen to them. So I did. I listened to every word they said, but I still didn't agree with them. And once you figure out people are not going to agree, best thing to do is stop. The best thing to do is stop. To preserve a kindred spirit and a loving relationship. Best thing to do is to close your mouth. Close it. Don't just keep arguing. Keep talking. You're wanting to dominate them. I've had people try to do this to me multiple times. They want to dominate me in the argument, so because of their pride's sake. And I refuse to do it. I will not do it. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. That's the Great Reset. Somebody say amen. Now,
Here is the second witness to that verse. I'm going to be doing this a lot. Okay? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now watch this. Revelation 10, 7. In the days of the voice. Now, Revelation 10, let's do that. Let's pull that up. I have spoken on this before that my very firm opinion is that this mighty angel is Christ. Now, he's clothed with a cloud. He's coming in the clouds. A rainbow was upon his head. You know what that rainbow is? According to Ezekiel 1, that rainbow is the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And who does God share his glory with? Nobody except God. He will share it with God, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said that in John 17 in his priestly prayer for his disciples. I probably can't find it very quickly. Oh, here it is. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. He says earlier, where is it? Oh. Let's see here. Well, I can't see it. Let me type in the word glory. Maybe they'll stick out here. There it is. O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look at that verse. So, well, let's go. We got to go back to Revelation 17 or Revelation 10. So, Revelation 10, back here, that rainbow was upon his head. If that's a normal angel, then Christ wasn't telling the truth. And we know Christ was telling the truth. So to me, for God to lay this rainbow, the symbol of the glory of the Lord, on an angel is not right. For him, however, to share it with his only begotten Son, that is right. His face was as it were the sun. We've got multiple verses on that, that Christ is that, and his face shone as the sun on the transfiguration. And his feet as pillars of fire, and he had his hand in a little book open. Where did he get that book from? Revelation 5. Okay? Why? Because he was the only one worthy to receive it and to open it. Now, even if you don't agree with any of that, that's fine. But here's the verse that is declared because of what this angel does. In the days, notice this word, days, meaning multiple, more than one day. Days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. What angel is he referring to? Revelation 8 tells us about the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So look at this verse again. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Last trump, right here. The mystery of God should be finished, as it declared to his servants, the prophets. Here's part of the mystery of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Revelation 10, 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God is finished. Meaning, that's when we are translated. The mystery of God should be finished. Behold, I show you a mystery. As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So here's what we need to do now. We need to go to Scripture. Or you could just look it up on Google, because Google will give you some really good answers. No. Go to Scripture and find out. Especially if you go to a Catholic website. You go to a Catholic website, they will talk about the mystery of God is the Eucharist. It's the mystery of the Eucharist, how all of this is a big mystery, meaning we can't know it. That's what they'll tell you. But that's not what God said. Jesus sat down with his disciples after he told them the parable of the seed and the sower. And they said, Jesus, we're kind of, you're going to have to help us out here, because that was a nice story and all, but we have no idea what it means. Jesus said, well, I speak in parables. How can you know this parable? How can you know any parable except I teach you? So he said, I'm saying it to you guys because to you, you're going to figure it out, or I'm going to tell you. But to those guys, I'm not going to tell them. Even though they've got it in the Bible now, they still won't read it. The Jews won't read the New Testament ever. So Jesus said, with my disciples, I'll teach it to you. But with them, no, not yet. So anyway, we have to understand the mystery of God. What is it? Well, it's multiple things. Number one, for Romans 11, 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And I'm telling you, every time the word mystery is in the Bible, God's going to tell you what it is. Every time. Jesus said, I'm going to give you understanding of the mystery or mysteries. And then he goes on to explain what the parable meant. And they go, oh, ooh, wow, whoa, wow, that is so cool. And there's so much teaching in the parable of the seed and the sower. I've studied that for years, and I don't have all of it yet. Okay? That's what I like about going to the Bible. If you want fresh stuff, instead of getting some new conspiracy theory off the web, why don't you just go to the Bible and look at something that you've read 100 times, and maybe God will open your eyes, you'll see something brand new you never saw before. You can actually read the Bible more than once. You do know that, don't you? You don't get it all the first time you read it. You understand that, right? Yeah, I read that once. Yeah, I know what that means. Stupidest assumption you could ever make. Yeah, I know what that means. Because I used to do that. Before God dealt with me, I would get prophecy books back really before the internet was the internet. We bought books. Remember those days? And I would buy prophecy books, and I would skip over the scripture and read what the guy said. Because I would say to myself, I could hear myself saying it. You already know what that says, Mike. Move on. I was messed up in those days. How God ever change me. Oh, anyway, I got to move on. Be not ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, not fully blind. Let's do this the right eye. Partially blind. Right eye blind. Why? Because the New Testament's on the right side. And they don't read the New Testament. They only have one eye, which God gave us three-dimensional sight by the use of two eyes. The two eyes are spread just perfectly, far apart enough, so that when we look at something, we see depth behind it. Our two eyes fill in the space, and we can actually gauge distances with our eyes. That's how we are able to walk down a set of steps. instead of an unchanging floor, we're able to walk down a set of steps accurately because both eyes are gauging the distance that our foot... You ever miss a step? What happens when you miss a step? You're either going to fall down the rest of the steps, or if it's at the bottom, you're going to twist your back out. Done it 100 times. But anyway, that's what the two eyes are for. But if you only have one eye, like Israel does, and they can't see the New Testament, they are blinded in part. That's what I think that means. It's happened to Israel. Plus, they have a veil when they read the Old Testament. I mean, they're really blind. Until when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What does that mean? Right now, it's the age of the Gentiles, and it's us Gentiles who are being saved. Now, some Jews every now and then, okay? But for the most part, it's us, the Gentiles. And what this tells me is that God has a number of the exact amount of Gentiles that's going to be saved. And when it hits that number, I kind of wish it was me. Now, I've already been saved, so it can't be me. But that would be cool if it were like you or somebody you know. Let's say it's somebody you know. And they won't get saved. You've talked to them. They won't give in. Or it's a family member, and you've just been praying for them. And all of a sudden, you go to them one day. You just felt like, man, the Lord's in this. And you sit down and talk to them, and you could see the tears in their eyes. And they start reading the scripture, and they say, yes, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to meet Jesus when he comes. And you kneel down, take him to the Romans Road of Salvation. He reads those verses. He's saved. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes. Because that was the last Gentile that's going to be saved. Last one. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay? But God's got it in his mind when the last Gentile is going to be saved. He already knows it. He already knows who it is, what number he is, and when he's going to be saved. And when the last Gentile is saved, the mystery of God is going to then be finished. And when the last Gentile is saved, God's going to close the door on the Gentiles. And he's going to open the door for Israel. And he's going to lift the veil and open up the New Testament. And now they're going to see in ways that they've never seen before. Amen? So that's part of it. That's the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah represents the Gentiles who are translated, but what does Elisha want? Money? Does he want Elijah's wives? No. He wants a double portion of the Spirit that Elijah has, the second outpouring of the Spirit. And he's going to get it. That's what Acts 2 is really all about. Okay? Upon Israel. Now, that's part of the mystery. Romans 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There it is. Look at this word. Is there a book in our Bible? Yes. The book of Revelation. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. No more mystery. Anyway, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. I have to make sure Sweetie Pie doesn't want anything. Okay, anyway. Which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures. Oh, look at this. By the scriptures of the prophets. What did Revelation say? As he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Isn't that cool? You mean you never saw this before? You never saw that before? Come on. I'll be like Joe Biden. Come on, man. Like he did last night in the stupid debate. Come on, man. Ugh, that guy gives me the creeps. You know that female Secret Service agents were assigned to his house. And he used to walk around naked in his house, making eye contact with them as he walked by. That guy and his son now, the laptop from hell, they found kid pics on it. Underage teenage girls. Hunter Biden's laptop. You want that? No, you want that sleaze back in the White House? You go ahead. Anyway, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment, because this mystery was kept secret, but now is made manifest. How? He didn't say by the internet, did he? And see, that's what people are doing. I won't say you. That's what people are doing. They're trying to get revelation of the mystery of the mark, the mystery of who the beast is. It's Bill Gates, obviously. And when the Lord's coming. They're trying to unravel biblical mysteries outside of the Bible. Look at this. Look at this. Look, they're going to put nanoparticles in that. That's going to go all through your body. Listen, I don't want that. Just as a human being, I'm going to remain a human. Okay? I don't want to be some other creature that they invented. I don't want it. Of course, I don't want to be any other creature that God invented. I want to be me. Okay? But they're looking at, I look into nanotech. I think that stuff's interesting. Okay? But if I want revelation of the mystery, I want to go to Scripture. Because you won't get this anyplace else. Okay? It's done by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all, look at this, to all nations for the obedience of faith. All nations without the internet. That's what I'm trying to get across. Read your Bible more. Read it more. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7, a lot of verses here, but let's go through them. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now remember, Jesus sat with his disciples and said, to you it is given to know the mysteries. To them that are without, it's not given. So, my point was earlier that a lot of these alternative right-wing conspiracy websites are written up by people who don't have salvation. They do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe the Bible. They don't read it. They're not saved. So God has hidden that mystery from them. Do you remember what Paul was getting at when he was telling the churches, you know, you got a brother suing a brother in a public court of law? Why is it that we're showing the world that we fight amongst ourselves? Paul said, would it not better be that two brothers, if they have an issue, bring it before the church and let the church decide? That way the lost world doesn't see us in dogfights all the time. But what do people do? They take one another to court inside a church. And he said it was wrong. So my point is this. And plus, that judge is lost. He didn't know anything about what we're talking about. He doesn't understand our lingo. Why? Because we believe the King James Bible. And the world doesn't understand us. Joe Biden and all the liberals, they hate our guts. Why? Because they don't understand us. They think we're all about, you know, a right-wing conspiracy to take over America. Nope. Nope, that's not what I'm about. I'm about preaching the gospel to people so they can be saved. And by the way, it's not just us Americans. It's all over the world, every nation. But they don't understand us. They don't understand how we think, why we think what we think. They don't understand why we're against abortion. They don't understand why we're against gay marriage. Thanks a lot, Pope Francis, for coming up with civil unions. That was a brilliant idea. He's promoting civil unions now for homosexual couples so they can still receive communion. Let's let's change God's word again to fit your whims while you're on the papal throne so you can act like God and say that they're okay. Oh, creep. Anyway, let's keep going. Which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the devils, none of the angels. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Satan entered personally into Judas Iscariot, didn't he? In order to do what? To kill Jesus. Was he correct in doing that? According to him, he thought if he killed Jesus, then God's whole word is demolished, and now, you know, Satan gets it all. Hang on a second. Sweetie Pie needs... I'm at home taking care of Sweetie Pie, so... Hang on a second. Hang on. There we go. All right, now. Back to the scripture. So he says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So the natural man doesn't know anything about God. So how then do we know anything about God and anything about the future, what God has prepared for us? But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit does what? Look at this. I love this. Searcheth all things. What? There's a noun, a verb, and the what is it? The direct object. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. The noun, the verb, and the direct object. The Spirit searcheth what? All things. So let me show you how that happens. Let's just take the phrase all things, because that's what the Spirit... Look at that. 220 times in the King James Bible. 22 is a number for revelation. Isn't that cool? Watch this. Look at what Jesus said. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Remember what's in the Father's right hand? A book. What does the Spirit do? He searcheth all things. What are we doing right this minute? We're searching all we're searching the Scriptures. Search the Scripture. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Search the Scriptures. What did the Bereans do? Search the Scriptures. Did he tell us to search the internet? No. He told us to search the Scriptures for the revelation of the mystery. Oh, look at this. He shall... Look at this. Let's see. All things are possible. But with God, all things are possible. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Let's see here. What else can we find? All things are delivered to me of my... We already read that. Come, for all things are now ready. All things must be fulfilled. Look at that. The Father loveth the Son and hath given... Look at this verse. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. That's the book. That's the book that he delivers into Jesus' hand. And in Revelation 10, you just happen to have a mighty angel whose face is like the sun, and he's got a book open in his hand. I got to move on. Study this. Study the phrase, all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How about, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Somebody say amen. So look at this verse again. The Spirit searcheth all things. What should you be doing? Searching the book of all things. Because that's what God is holding in his right hand. It's a book. And he gives it to his son. All things that the Father hath, he's given into my hand. And then Jesus told us in John 16, what my Father gives me, I tell the Spirit, and he'll show you all things. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you think you would find them on the internet from a whistleblower? Because if you did, you're wrong. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, I mean, I know people, right? Because I are a people, and I understand people. For what, okay, but this, now we have received not the spirit of the world. What's the internet for? Now, there's some good things on there, but by and large, you want a taste of the world, you get it on the internet, sure enough. But the Spirit which is God, of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Right? How many of you shared the story that I said yesterday or a similar one? Then what you shared was the wisdom which man's wisdom teacheth, but not what God teacheth. Not what God said. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does that, what do we have always said that that means? That part of it is going to be, to whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to have to know doctrine? Them that are weaned from the breast, drawn from the milk. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. What are we supposed to give people? What we found in the scriptures. What do we give to people? Man's wisdom. And man's wisdom will not, you know what? All of that stuff might be good to show people what's coming, but what did you share with them to save those people from what's coming? You see, that's just like giving people the Old Testament and reading them the law and say, thou shalt not commit adultery. What did Paul call the law? The law of condemnation. You're sharing these, oh, they're going to round us all up, put us in detention centers. Let me ask you this. Who's going to stop that? from happening. If it's not meant for us to go into slave labor camps, which I don't know if we are or not. I have no idea. Oh, I know all the presidential executive orders that have been put in place since Richard Nixon. How the president can suspend the Constitution. He has powers given to him to do that. I know about all that. I've been reading about detention camps since the 90s. Since the 90s, people. Let's say 1997. So 1997, 2007, that's 10 years. 2017, that's 20 years. 23 years. I've been reading about it before then, but let's start 1997. So for the last 23 years, I've had people telling me they're going to round us all up and put us in detention camps. When? I don't know. I don't know if it's even going to happen. Okay? And the bottom line is, you don't either. You don't. You don't know. So you told everybody about detention camps. But is there anything that we can do or are going to do that's going to stop that? Not if God set it in place. And if God set it in place, there isn't a thing man can do about it. And I'm going to say this. You've warned everybody about depopulation programs. I'm fixing to show you the biggest depopulation plan in the universe. I'm about to show it to you. Where do you think I'm going to show it to you from? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's why I'm telling you. These websites, if that guy is not born again saved, what is his website good for? Foolishness. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are not because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually discerned. And if that man has a different spirit in him, the prince of the power of the air, here's what I'm going to ask you. Is it possible that alternative right-wing conservative conspiracy websites can be full of the prince of the power of the air, can be governed or ruled by the prince of the power of the air? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Zero doubt in my mind. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. There that is again. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have... Where do we have the mind of Christ at? Huh? Right here. Right here. You're looking at the mind of Jesus Christ. Because he is that. In every sense. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Back to that. Behold, I show you a mystery. Let's go. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Again, this is the second witness to Revelation 10:7. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised and we incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now Ephesians 1, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And how did he make it known to us? From the scriptures, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Again, what plan does God have for everybody in this world, including us right-wing conservative Christians? I mean, you're looking at the plans that the devil has. Right? Concentration camps? Isn't that of the devil? Yes. You're looking at his plans. And I understand a little bit about, you know, knowing Satan's devices. I get that. So I'm not knocking that so much. But find some balance in your life, please. Spend some time on the internet, okay. Now spend some time with God in His Word so that you know the truth. You'll read something in the scriptures, something you just saw on a website, and you'll go, okay, I know that can't be true. I know what that guy said cannot be true. I know it for a fact, cannot be true. That guy lied through his teeth, and I know it because I'm reading the scriptures right here. He directly violated the Word of God, like Mike Adams did. That stupid article he put out telling everybody if they get a shot by a needle, they got the mark of the beast. Crazy guy. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's exactly what Romans said, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Here he says it this way, in the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's exactly what Jesus said. Here, that he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the earth, to the other. So he says here, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The mystery, the fullness of times, and the gathering together, which is the rapture. All of it together, happening at the same time. The mystery of God is going to be finished, which is gathering us all together. Ephesians 5:31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and shall be joined unto his wife. You get it? And they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Oh, I'll tell you the mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Isn't that beautiful? That part of the mystery is the day when the bridegroom and the bride are married. So when the mystery of God is finished in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, what happens? It's our wedding day. You remember your wedding day? Well, some of you got several. Do you remember the one that counted? The one that you like? Okay? I've been married to the same woman, 33 years. And I remember my wedding day. I remember that. I wanted to get married. I did. And I don't regret it. At all. I love that woman. And anytime there's a problem with us, I try to remember who I am. I'm Christ. She's the church. And I remember that Christ loved the church unconditionally. And my wife has just had her fifth cancer surgery, fourth reconstruction surgery. It's taken a lot out of her. And it's taken a lot to rebuild. She did that because she loved her husband. And I wanted that for her so she could look like a woman. I'm probably sharing too much, but anytime I get angry or upset, I remember who we are, the roles we're playing. One of these days, our Savior, who's had to put up with us for 2,000 years now, loves us unconditionally and has opened up to us a wedding day. Now, this brings in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 doesn't make use of the word mystery, but notice the connection. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. Now, you know who that is? Tell me what the lamp is. It's the Bible, right? What does oil represent? Spirit of God. So, watch this. It's either a Bible where the Spirit of God does not dwell, which would be like the Holman Standard Bible or the NIV or the New American Standard, any of those false Bibles, right? New King James, all of them. Or a Bible that's never read. Because that has no life in it. You can't just carry around a Bible like a St. Christopher medal and hope that it saves your life. You can't. It doesn't work that way. Oh, I carry around this Bible. Do you read it? No. But I carry it around. Makes me feel close to God. I've actually heard people say that. That's stupid. A Bible that is unread has no oil in it. That's why they're foolish, right? They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So, you are thinking that because the Agenda 21 and the Bill Gates Society is all working together, and on this date, they're going to start the vaccinations to give everybody the mark of the beast. And I am telling you, I am 100%, I am 100%. You write this down, put it somewhere, put it in your Bible, that I said this on this day. And when they start giving everybody COVID vaccines, we'll see then whether or not people started receiving the mark of the beast. Write it down that I said that, because I'm saying it won't happen. I'm saying it. I'm saying right now, 100% guaranteed, that when they start giving the COVID vaccines to everybody, they will not be giving them the mark of the beast. I'm saying it right now, 1:15 p.m. That's when I'm recording this, on October 23rd, 2020. Write it down. Put it somewhere. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere. Put it on your computer. Put it in your notes. Put it on your calendar. Write it down that I said that. Here's why I'm saying it. No man knoweth the day or the hour. No man doth. We don't even know who the Antichrist is, do we? That's another mystery we're going to get to in a minute. We don't even know who it is. Why? He hasn't been revealed yet. We don't know who he is. So I'm guaranteeing you, the people who have figured out that the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast, they're wrong. 100%. The door's going to be shut, and all the fools who read the internet instead of their Bible, read the internet as a Bible. Because if you look to the internet to figure out prophecy, you're reading it as if it were a Bible. Because what are we supposed to do to figure out prophecy? Read other Bible verses. That's what I do. I read other Bible verses. The door is shut, and all the fools left out. And afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm telling you, you don't know, and all the alternative right-wing conspiracy websites don't know diddly either. They know absolutely nothing about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast, because they've already got it pegged as the COVID vaccine. You write that down, that I said 100% guaranteed that it's not. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Remember what I ended up with yesterday? 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm trying to help you. Because if you read all this stuff on the internet, you're going to be thinking that you're going to sound like somebody paranoid. They're listening. They're listening to me. How? Through my watch? They're listening to me through my watch and my television. Okay? We're supposed to be knit together in love and to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Instead of you half knowing something, you can really know something. And to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where do you get your wisdom and your knowledge from? Do you get it from the internet? No. From the Bible. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Wow. Did the Apostle Paul nail you on that one? And me. Because I've been led astray. I've believed stupid things on the internet. Of course I have. Why do you think I'm telling you? Why do you think I'm standing up on some high pedestal going, thou shalt not do this. I never have. I'm standing here on the same ground as you. I've fallen for stupid stuff on the internet. And I don't want to do that again. So it's a road that I've been down, and I come back out, and I said, you don't want to go down there. Trust me, you don't. Well, what's down there? That's you. What really? Why not? What's down there? I'm just telling you, don't go down there. Well, how come? How come I can't go down there? What is it you don't want me to see? Okay. Go down there. And you come running back going, oh, I wish I'd never gone down there. I tried to tell you! Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. 2 Thessalonians 2. Here it is. Listen to this. Paul said that you be not soon shaken in mind. There's a shaking coming. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word. You know what the internet is? Words. Nor by letter, as from us, fake letters, fake apostle, fake epistles. Is that the day of fake gospels? Is that the day of Christ is at hand? Let no man deceive you by any means. What means? For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Are you catching this? What day? Our gathering together under the Lord. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed? The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Notice this, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Right now, it's, or he is a mystery. Here, he's revealed, but he won't be revealed until that day. So if any of these sites make a claim that Bill Gates is the Antichrist, or that Joe Biden is, if he can stay awake long enough, or if anybody else is, I guarantee you, 100%, they're wrong. 100%. Who knows who it is? We don't know. He hasn't been revealed yet. When will he be revealed? The mystery of God should be finished in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. That's when all the mysteries are over with. The curtain's drawn back on everything, revealing everything. All right? In the days of the voice, that's why he said that. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And notice that it says days of the voice of the seventh angel, multiple days. With us, a trumpet sounding's like one event lasts 30 seconds, right? Trumpet sounding to wake the troops up, trumpet sounding to call people to battle, trumpet sounding to send the horses to the gate. Right? Last, what, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, a minute maybe. This trumpet apparently lasts days. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Sort of gives me the idea that when he begins to sound, we're translated, because the mystery is finished, but that his sounding extends through several days. That's a guess, but that's anyway. But now you understand this better, don't you? The mystery is not going to be finished until the days of the voice of the seventh angel. He's not revealed yet. So anybody's claim on the internet, 100% guaranteed, they are wrong. Mark it down that I said it on this date. Only he who nouteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the brightness, the lamps. Because he shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that's his word. Brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Everybody that lied. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them. So, strong delusion. So, my question to you is, what's God going to give you, revelation or delusion? What's he going to give you? Where are you getting all your information from? What are you reading all day long? Who are you spending your time with during the day? And again, I'm not telling you anything from a high pedestal. I'm telling you everything I'm telling you straight on your level, because I've been there before. I've had days where I didn't read the Bible. Been there, done that. I know what it's like. I know what happens. I know the effects that it has. I'm telling you, it's a bad, bad idea for you to continually dismiss Bible reading. But, well, I'm still serving God because I'm looking up things on the internet for Him. Really? You know, that really doesn't count. It really doesn't. Well, I'm spreading the word because I'm warning people about the detention camps that they're building up in Canada. That doesn't work. That doesn't count. It's not the same thing. And you know it's not. That they all might, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I have to move on. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. You want to know what the mystery of iniquity is? It's the opposite of this. It is. God was manifest in the flesh. Guess who's going to be manifest in the flesh? Antichrist? Mystery of iniquity? Mystery of godliness? Justified in the spirit. Guess who's condemned? Antichrist. Scene of angels? Glorious angels. He's surrounded by fallen ones. Preached unto the Gentiles? Well, that one's the same. He's just taken over the Gentiles. Believed on in the world? Yep. Received up into glory? Not! He's fallen in the pit. Amen. See, it's the opposite of it. Now, are we in watch this. Now, we're sort of done with the word mystery. Let's look at this word tribulation for a little bit. Are we in tribulation now? Yes and not yet are the two answers. Yes, in that we are going through trying to. Right now, the devil has kicked our church and tried to destroy us. This one service that we had, with almost 24, 25 people infected, one death, still have people in the hospital, still have people recovering. Then we get a second wave of COVID, which is where we are right now. And I don't even want to get into all that, because we took one step forward. Now we've taken two steps back. Nobody's been at the office this week. All of my office staff is out with sickness or surgery or whatever. All of them. And I don't know when I'm going to get everybody back. I don't know when I'm going to get everybody back to church. So yes, this is pretty trying for me and our church. Are we going to get through it? I believe we are. I believe we are. And not only so, Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Again, the conspiracy websites, some of these guys like to place the beginning of the tribulation or the rapture or the mark of the beast almost 2 weeks from now. Like the Hal Turner radio show. Remember, as early as this Sunday, you're going to be quarantined where you are. He lied through his teeth. And all the suckers that paid for the premium content, they lost that money. That was a waste of money, wasn't it? Because I guarantee you, in the premium content, he made more of an issue of the lie that he told than he did on the website. Because he got paid well. Did he give the money back? What are you, crazy? They don't give the money back. You listen to the premium content. Doesn't matter if he lied or not. You listen to it. You paid for it. tribulation worketh patience. And I want you to notice this. So would God, knowing that you know this now, tribulation worketh patience, would God put our translation, the day we're looking for, before we go through any tribulation or after we go through some tribulation? After. Why? Because we want it now, don't we? God says, no. What I'm going to give you is better than what you asked for. You asked for it now, but I'm going to give you something better than what you asked for. Better. Why? Because the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to cause you to learn patience. And that's, let me show you what patience does. Let me show you. 1 Peter. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then he says, where is it? Why can I never find patience, virtue? Where is it? Let's see here. Yeah, here we go. 2 Peter. I had to write Peter, wrong book. Beside all this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. So what's wrong with all of those things? Nothing. And God wants you to have them, right? And if God wants you to have them, what's the way that he's going to give it to you? Tribulation. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I just covered that in the latest Watchman. Tribulation. First thing out of his mouth, tribulation. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? No. And I guarantee you, well, I don't know about that. Maybe some lost pretend Christians are going to say this, but the real born-again saints are not. Some lost pretend Christians are going to say, well, we're in the tribulation. I thought we weren't going to go through the tribulation. Well, you didn't read your Bible then. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. He says it again, double witness, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So if we go through a tribulation, a limited tribulation right now, is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? No. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforted us in all our, how many of our tribulations does he comfort us in? All of them. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. Isn't that how it works? You hear somebody say, you know, I used to be really lost and I read all these other Bibles. And you say, wait a minute. I was just like you. Let me tell you how God brought me out of that. You're able to share with them the same comfort that God comforted you when you were in your tribulation period. Oh, I've been in some tribulation periods, buddy. I have been through some. That's why right now I can say beyond any doubt that what God is going to do after this period where the devil's kicked our rear ends is going to be greater than anything God has done before in our lives. Because I'm telling you, there is no birth without what? Travail. And we're travailing right now in a small way. So just, I got four witnesses here. You only need three. You only need two or three. I got four here that tells us, yes, we are going to go through tribulation et many tribulations, M-I-N-I, or M-A-N-Y, both of those, many, many tribulations. We will go through those. And I do believe we will go through the days of tribulation that Jesus spoke of. The days of tribulation. Revelation 7:9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So an elder stood up, answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And boy, do they have a lot of patience. Great patience. And have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And folks, that's our righteousness. Those white robes are the righteousness of Christ that we have been adorned with. Washed our robes in the blood of the... Well, it's got blood all over. It's red, right? No, it's white. White blood cells, remember? They eat up all the uncleanness. And that, look, remember what we said. Blindness in part is happened unto Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, at the time of our rapture, God translates us, and he then gives Israel the Holy Spirit. Right? So, when he gives Israel the Holy Spirit, they're sealed, and that's the top part of Revelation 7. So, at this same time, he seals Israel, and then we're already up around the throne of God, throne of Jesus Christ, having come out of great tribulation. Revelation 10:7, are we in tribulation now? No, it's in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, or prior to that. It's not going to happen. Our rapture is not going to happen until the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So we're not there yet. So, somebody says, well, I think we're in the tribulation right now. You can say, well, wait a minute. What about the seven seals? Because if we're translated at the seventh trumpet, then we've got these seven seals to go through first and six trumpets. And a whole slew of events have to take place. Let me run down those very quickly. Revelation 6:1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I want you to notice, at the opening of the sixth seal, what I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Well, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Now, I don't know how to add all this up and reconcile this. I don't know how. Okay? I just know that this, the sun became dark as sackcloth of hair, moon became as blood, stars of heaven fell into the earth. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And he said, this is going to happen before the Son of Man appears in heaven, which is where we're looking for him to come from, right? Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants, upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. That's the Holy Ghost pouring out to Israel. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Before the Lord appears in the air. Because Peter used this same thing. He said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great notable day of the Lord come. Well, that's what Jesus said was going to happen. So he's not appearing in the air until after this event, which is the sixth seal. And this has not happened yet, has it? Now, going back to this opening of the seals, what are the seals on? The book, right? And what is the book? Well, it's this, the Bible. Remember when I taught you about DNA? How it was sealed, it was rolled up like a scroll and sealed with hydrogen bonds? And remember how I told you there's only one thing in the body that can open DNA, unroll it, and break those hydrogen bonds? Okay? Remember that? You don't have to remember the words that I use and the names that I use, but just remember that teaching, right? So who is it? Who is the only one that can unroll a book written by God and loose the seals? Jesus. Did he say Jesus or Bill Gates? Now, why did I bring that up? Because a lot of people are convinced that Bill Gates has already opened DNA, already used CRISPR to manufacture of something that they're going to inject in our bodies, that it's going to alter all of our DNA. But excuse me, that book cannot be opened by anyone except who? Jesus Christ. And ask yourself the question, has he started loosing the seals yet? Have you seen blood and fire and pillars of smoke? Have you seen the stars? Have you seen the sun darken, the moon turn? I know they made okay, let me bring that up. The big deal about the four blood moons, you remember that one? And how all that stuff was supposed to happen in Israel and it was going to be the start of the tribulation? Do you remember that lie? Because I had an aunt that asked me, Michael, have you heard about the four blood moons? No. Yeah, well, yeah, I have. Do you believe it? No, I don't believe a word of it. Not one word. Because they were lying through their teeth. None of that stuff that they predicted happened. But they sold books. Now, did they give the money back for the books that they sold? Because they were wrong. No. They didn't give one dime back to anybody. I'm sorry, we lied in this book. Here's your money back. They're not going to do that. But they lied through their teeth to sell books and to sell videos and to make their money. And they made a ton of it. And people believed it. People shared it on Facebook. Look at this. This is the four blood moons. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me, that doesn't happen until the opening of the sixth seal. They lied. So since the seals have not been opened yet, your DNA is safe. And besides that, Jesus has already, I keep saying this, he's already promised us, I've read you the scriptures, I shall give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. Both of them have stings on them, right? Sting of death is sin. What do you think that army that's coming out of the pit is going to do? Sting everybody. Right? And they're genetically altered because they don't die for 5 months. That's because the seals have been opened. I'm not worried about Bill Gates right now. I'm not worried about him being able to alter my DNA, because my Savior promised me already that even if I drank poison, like some things I drink, even if I drink poison, God won't let it harm me. So do you honestly think that God's going to let Bill Gates secretly give you the mark of the beast? Or any other physician? Is that what you're saying you believe? That you believe that God's going to allow, that Jesus himself is going to allow some physician in the world to secretly give you the mark of the beast without you knowing it? Our Savior swore to us that he would not let that happen. If it's locked up and sealed, who has the keys to it? Jesus does. So, hold on to that thought. Isaiah 13:6, same thing. And by the way, it puts in pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. And then he says, the stars of heaven, the constellations thereof shall not give their light. And the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not cause their light to shine. The pangs come along with the stars of heaven falling. Remember what Peter said? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, Revelation. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. So the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpet, or brings out the seven trumpets. You got it? Let me go back to the fifth seal. Remember what I said earlier? Who has the keys? If it's locked, if it's sealed, who's got the key to it? Jesus does. And if Jesus has the key, who can unseal the book? Nobody. Nobody. Yeah, they have a way to alter the DNA of one cell with CRISPR. They have the ability to alter the DNA of one cell. Okay? And they're talking about the ability to alter the DNA of all humans. But remember, your DNA has a self-correcting mechanism that if it's altered, it'll just alter it back. Now, they need help making it permanent, because that book is sealed, and only Jesus can open those seals. What's he doing in the first part of Revelation? Opening the seals. Okay? So Revelation 9, the fifth angel sounded. We're into the trumpets now. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, oh, looky here, was given the key of the bottomless pit. Did he have it before that? No. Did he steal it? No. It was given to him. And then, and only then, did the stingers come out. Right? Then and only then did the stingers come out. The locust that look like has scorpion's tails. Again, I don't have a movie of this all played out. I don't quite understand it, but I believe it. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. A third part of the stars. What is that? Well, it could be Revelation 12, where Satan takes a third part of the stars and casts them down to the earth. So now, in Revelation 11, we get to the seventh angel sounded. Verse 15, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I love that. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. When does the wrath of God occur? After the seventh trump. Just like the Bible says, God has not appointed us under wrath, people. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to this, and to the saints. When is our reward coming? When the seventh angel sounds. And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And I am done. I've just shown you what I believe is God's plan. It one thing follows another. The seven seals. And the seventh seal begins the seven trumpets. Fifth trumpet, the number five. Fifth trumpet. Satan's got a key that he never had before. Or whatever star that is. I got a key I've never had before. I wonder if it opens a bottomless pit. Well, looky there. It's never been open. And who kept that shut? Who kept that shut? Jesus did. Don't you think that God is capable of sealing you? I'm going to ask you a question. Are you sealed? Are you sealed? Of course you are. Look at here. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And there's a picture of that in Jeremiah 32, the 777th chapter of the Bible. In Jeremiah 32, he tells the story of Jeremiah buying the field that is in Anathoth from his cousin, Hanamel's son, and he buys it. And he writes out the details of it in two books. One's open and one is sealed. And what it is, it's the inheritance of the purchased possession. And then, when Israel comes back from their 70 years in captivity, then they understand that God's meant that they're going to get their land back when the closed copy is unsealed. See, I live on land right now, and that land has a title, and that title is kept at the courthouse sealed, so that if anything happens to this house and it burns up and all the records get burned up, there's still the main copy at the courthouse, right? Same way it is in heaven. If all of our Bibles burn up, there's still one in heaven. Amen? That cannot burn up, and it's sealed up there. So if you're sealed, is God going to let you take the mark of the beast in something that you didn't know? Maybe it's a piece of bread that was genetically modified, and that modification now modifies my DNA. Oh, no! Is is God going to let that happen to you as a saint? No. No, he's not. Now, I can't answer the question, is God going to let you end up in the church? Is God going to let you get killed for the word of, for the testimony of Jesus Christ and his word? Maybe. See, God didn't promise us that he wouldn't let us suffer persecution or go through tribulation. He did promise us that we're sealed until the day of redemption. Count on that. So if they open up detention camps and people that have COVID have to go into it, is that a bad thing? As long as they let them back out. But the guy made a point, you know, it says in here, for any other reason or for other reasons, which I understand. I get the language. I don't trust the Prime Minister of Canada. So maybe... Maybe it's appointed that we suffer persecution. Maybe those camps are going to be opened up. And God says, listen, look here. I got a ticket with your name on it. Is that so bad? If it's done for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ... Paul said it like, I would most gladly do that if it would... I don't know, think about this for a minute. What is so bad about them rounding up all of us Bible-believing Christians and putting all of us in one place? What would we do? Some things God did promise us, some things he did. And some of you are acting like, boy, I'm not going to touch that. It's got the mark of the beast on it. You worry too much. You live way too much in fear. Get back in your Bible, okay? Get back in your Bible. I love you. I had to finish this today, so that you would understand where my heart is and what I see coming, what I believe, and why I say what I say and why I do what I do. Because something happens. If I get sick next time, I don't know if I'm going to live through it. What are you going to do?